Thank you very much, Lim, and happy Sabbath, everyone. And welcome to all our guests as well, and all those online. And nice to get a nice update on those in Hawaii and able to see your pastor. That's wonderful. I'd also like to say hello to Sholo, all of you up there, and Mr. Morgan. I hope your back is doing better as well. And hope everyone is moving forward in this very dark world. Also wanted to let you know that Mike and Kai Thompson wanted to be here, but with some illnesses, they were unable to make it. Jen Sweeten, please be praying for her as well. Bob Fedwick is working something out that we might be able to see Jan after services in the near future, but she needs to be getting some rest. She's not been able to get very much sleep. I know some of you are working with her and helping her with some things, so let's be praying for her as well. And Mr. Tuck was very kind to Jacqueline Kale. Normally I'd have her get up and dance around, but so she's on the start of a journey of growing and changing and unlearning her ways and putting on Christ. So what a wonderful calling. So really appreciated the opportunity to be able to spend time with her over the last number of months and to see how God has been working with her. Well, today I am going to talk about fellowship. Now, most churches are associated with fellowship. There are a number of churches that have fellowship in their name. They'll even have a room. Sometimes on the entry of that room it says Fellowship Hall. So fellowship is huge. I know we talk about, make sure that we stick together and fellowship with one another. But is fellowship more than just conversing with one another? That's what I would like to look at today. What is fellowship? Fellowship comes from the Greek word, and I know I'm not going to say this exactly, but koinos, K-O-I-N-O-N-O-S. Since the New Testament was written in Greek, we have to break down some of these words. The Greek meaning is a verb. It's an action word. It means to partake. Partake in something. It means to be a companion in something. To be a partner, which all relates to fellowship. So today, I have some points. We'll see if we get through them all. In regards to what fellowship is. So, let's start with, where did fellowship originate? Let's turn to Scripture and see what it says. 1 John. We'll see what the Apostle John was saying here. Let me start in 1 John chapter 1. Just let me start in the first verse. And John writes in 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. He's talking about Jesus Christ, okay? Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, and have handled concerning the word of life. Verse 2, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us in the physical flesh. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also have fellowship. Sort of strange being in this situation when we sort of maybe think what fellowship is about conversing with one another. It's more than that. That you have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So here we're seeing that he's talking about Jesus Christ. God in the Spirit coming as God in the flesh, mingling with human beings. And with this calling, with what Jesus Christ is bringing, he's bringing fellowship. And it's talked about that your joy may be full of this fellowship. So fellowship comes from God through Jesus Christ, and it is about a relationship with God to the fullest extent. Without it, we are lacking the fellowship that Jesus Christ is talking about, or that John is talking about here. In verse 5, this is the message, because it's talking about, this fellowship is talking about righteousness. Verse 5, and this is the message which we have heard from him, who? Jesus Christ. And we declare this to you, that God is light. I mean, he's without sin. He's perfect. And this is what they want us to be following. It says, in him there is no darkness. There is no sin. God cannot sin. There's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God, it's about fellowship. Okay, fellowship with him, but we are walking in sin. We're still practicing sin. We're still compromising the word of God. We're not fully putting it into practice. We can't have fellowship with God, with Jesus Christ, and with one another to the extent that John is talking about here. We walk in darkness and we lie, and we do not practice the truth. So fellowship is about practicing the truth. It's coming to this understanding. So it says, if we walk in the light, if we want to be connected to God in his ways, to serve him, to do his will, because God is perfect. God is love. If we're like him as he is in the light, then we have fellowship. We have fellowship with one another. There's no pretending. We're genuine. And then the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us with all sin when we see where we fall short. Because we see God is all about fellowship. And he wants us to have this fellowship that can only come from God the Father and Jesus Christ. So point number one was fellowship comes through God, and it has to do with relationships. But not superficial relationships. Deep meaning, where your joy will be full. It's a connection, an understanding that our life, our calling is about fellowship. It is about relationships. So fellowship is more than just words. It comes at a very high price. We can't have fellowship the way God wants us to have fellowship without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So fellowship originates from God the Father through Jesus Christ, as God the Father gave his Son, and his Son was a willing sacrifice so that our joy could be full. So fellowship is about laboring together in righteousness, which brings us to point number two. Fellowship involves being a companion in God's ways. We are connected with him. And we saw that as a meaning in the word fellowship. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 for this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, this world, they may talk about, you know, fellowship in their name or fellowship. This is the fellowship hall. But what is the world about? You know, we're told to come out of the world, the ways that the world practices. I mean, we're striving to get rid of our old selves, of selfishness, that's contrary to God, and we're to put on Christ. Some of the world talks about that, but they don't put that into action. And without God's Holy Spirit, there's no way that they can be filled with the fellowship of the Father and Jesus Christ. So fellowship involves being a companion and following God's ways. Here we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul is talking to the church. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart, our core, is being poured out to you. It's wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you're restricted by your own affections. You haven't opened yourself up to the bowels deep down within. You're holding back, is what he's saying. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open as we are open. Paul is saying, let's be companions in the Word of God. He says in verse 14, do not be unequal yoked together with unbelievers. I mean, don't be connected to them where they're wearing off on you, where you're involved in practicing of the world's ways. For he says, what fellowship? Because God is about fellowship. His Son came and died for fellowship. What is this fellowship? For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? The world is about breaking God's law, not seeing in many cases that they have any inkling to wanting to make any changes. He's saying the world, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, for those who are breaking God's law. God's law is of love. Love towards God and love towards one another. Why be connected with individuals of the world that lie, steal, and cheat? But you see that the focus, if we're really in with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and that fellowship is what we are about, and our joy is being filled in this fellowship and understanding the ways of God, and coming out of the world, we should see the world for what it is. It says, what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, for as God has said, I dwell in them, and I walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So do not serve unrighteousness, which is of Satan. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Be different. Have a different mindset. Understand what the will of God is. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And Paul is talking about fellowship. Fellowship in the ways of God and not participating in the ways of the world, the practices of the world. Don't be like them. I've called you to a different calling. We're called to be true companions in the Word of God. And God is serious in these statements. And sometimes we may take these lightly and we get involved in the world, we get involved in politics. That's not of God. No, you can just look how crazy, how divided this world is. People are really dug in to politics. And maybe, you know, people are, you know, Satan is all about hurting others. It's about chopping someone off at the knees so I can win. You just see the way the world is going. If Mr. Trump gets into office, he wants to isolate America. He wants to cut off allies. Think about that. Cut off allies. You're not paying your fair share. He wants to cut off trade from other countries. That's only going to raise prices. And you must agree with him or else. And you already see that's been going on for a number of other presidents as well. You don't vote for them, they'll do things to hurt your business. They'll do things to hurt you. You know, America is supposed to be free, have opinions, voice your ways, but no, if today it's come to that point, you don't agree with us, we hurt you. Now this is just the world against the world. We haven't come to any type of bloodshed yet from the world. But God expects us to have fellowship, a true bond, to be a companion to him and to come out of the world. He expects that. Here in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 3, and I urge you as true companion, a true companion in fellowship, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, as he's speaking to Philippian church. Help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement, also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Companion together. Help one another. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice in this calling. It's about focusing on God. It's about getting the focus off ourselves. He says, let your gentleness, verse 5, be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. Have the appropriate behavior. Says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You know, if our requests are the requests that God expects, and it's supposed to make sure that our joy is full, our prayers should truly, really be focused on having a relationship with God and with one another. That's the fruit that God expects for us to have. John 15, let's turn over there. John 15, verse 9, Jesus Christ, these are the words of Jesus Christ, talks about love and joy being perfected. And that's where fellowship has come in, through God the Father and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says in John chapter 15, verse 9, as the Father loved me, I have loved you. Remain in my love. Listen to my words, is what he's saying. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That's keeping all of God's commandments and not compromising in any way. That's what our faith is about. He says, just as I kept my Father's commandments and I remain in his love. Jesus Christ never compromised on God's law. He was fully committed. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. If we want this joy to be in us, we must be keeping God's commandments and repenting when we don't, and making the strides to be fully committed to God, and that your joy may be full. This is the commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. Putting God's law into action with one another. Turning the other cheek. You know, there's a lot in this. It says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. It's getting rid of my will, my fleshly lusts, my selfish nature, and to truly be serving others and putting God's law into action. Only esteeming them better than myself. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So we have to ask ourselves, are we doing what God commands us? Or do we make excuses? It says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. So God has revealed this to us, that you did not choose me, but I chose you. And what did he say? I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That is our calling, to bear godly fruit and to stop producing ungodly fruit. He says, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So what does God want us to be asking in this particular situation? He says, these things I command you, that you love one another. Put my law into practice. Love me, do all that I command, and love one another. And love is the fulfillment of keeping God's law. God tells us over in James chapter 4, I'm not going to turn there. You can read the first, starting in verse 1, and read part way through that chapter, about praying for one another. Caring for one another, getting involved in someone's life, wanting them to succeed, companioning together, a companion, fellowship. Your desire is to want them to make it into God's kingdom. So this all has to be with being connected with God, which helps us to be connected to one another. And God says, if you're connected to one another, well, then you love me because you're putting my law into practice. Point number 3. We talked about being a companion. It also talks about partnering with God. So point number 3 is fellowshipping, is partnering with God fully. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. God wants us to partner with him. He expects this. I've talked about many times, there's only two sources that you'll serve. Either God the Father and Jesus Christ, or Satan and his demons. What other way would you choose? There's no other choice. It's either God the Father and Jesus Christ or the ways of Satan. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He says, flee from idolatry. Flee from serving other gods. Yes, you're in the world and what's going on in the world, don't be involved in. But he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, he says, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. So those who are not of God, they are sacrificing, they are serving Satan. And they do not want you to have fellowship. He says, I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. So if we're not serving God, we are serving Satan. Very clear. So are we developing fellowship in our lives to the extent that God expects us? And that depends on how we are living. It's not just words. God wants to know if we're fully committed to Him. And He wants us to know if we have the fellowship of Jesus Christ in us, because we can't serve two masters. This is what Mr. McKean was talking about in his letter. Our relationship with God and with each other should encourage others to see that we are different, and we should be promoting this way of life. We should not be involved in anything other than serving God. Fellowship is who a person is. It's who a person is. God the Father and Jesus Christ are about fellowship. And we partner, they want us to partner in the Word. They want us to be led by their Holy Spirit. It's about having an intimate relationship with Him and with one another. And we know it's about sacrifice, sacrificing our time, our life, to help others. That's what Christ is about, which is participating in the truth, which leads us to point number four. Fellowship is putting other people's needs above our own. And we have an example over here in Acts chapter 2. This is the time they thought Jesus Christ was going to return. They were baptized, received God's Holy Spirit, and they put fellowship into practice. You know, we don't just have to look at this and say, well, we'll wait for Christ to return and we're going to do this. This should be about what we're already doing, sharing what we have. And not just being a sponge and saying, okay, you need to share with me. No, they were all sharing together. We see here in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, it says, this is how the church, the congregation, was growing. They had fellowship. Here it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Come out of the world. Then those who gladly received his words were baptized. That day, there were about 3,000 souls that were added, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is what they've been taught by Jesus Christ, the truth, and fellowship, which is the ultimate bond, and the breaking of bread. Sitting down, breaking of bread, thinking about, talking about, putting God's ways into practice, and in prayers. So fellowship here is about relationships with one another and with God. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and all had things in common, right? That's what fellowship is. Things in common. That is one of the descriptors, an action word. And they sold their possessions in this particular case and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. They're willing to give as anyone who had need. They were willing to sacrifice. So continuing daily with one accord of one truth, as Mr. Shaby was talking about, one God in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness, simplicity of heart, a spiritual way of life through God's Holy Spirit, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So So God caused growth by people putting fellowship into practice. Not only were the individuals growing, but God added more people to the body of Christ. We could be thinking about that, because could you be doing more in fellowship and not leaving any excuse where God says, you know, I couldn't help you grow, I couldn't add to the congregation because of the fellowship. Yes, you had the truth, but you didn't put love into practice. How many of us compromise with the Word of God? Something that we all need to look at deeply. There are things that go on in our lives, and yes, there's an easy way out that will benefit me in this particular situation, but is it godly? I think we all wrestle with that. Is it godly? We should be on our knees asking God to help, for help not to be led into temptation, to come out of it, to draw closer to God, put his ways into practice so that we can be delivered from the evil one. Because he doesn't want us to be involved with fellowship. Oh, he would like to, let's converse, have fellowship after church, eat and drink and talk about yourself. Or maybe a little bit about something else. But it's not a deep fellowship where we have the relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, where we're convicted deeply in the Word of God. I say deeply, which leads me to point number 5, and I'm going to turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Fellowship is only understood by some. That's point number 5. Not everyone can understand this fellowship. Not the fellowship that Jesus Christ is talking about. It's a mystery. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Paul says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints. So Paul's saying, I'm the least of all of you in here. He looks at you more highly than himself. This grace, God's favor, was given that I should preach among the Gentiles. So God revealed to him that I want you to teach this message. The Jews have rejected it, so I'm opening it up to the rest of those in the world. And that's what Paul has been called to speak to them specifically. It says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So he said it's a mystery. It's hidden. Except for those whom God calls. And those who respond, God reveals it and shows us what fellowship is. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. You and me, those before us, those after us, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. For them to watch and look and see how God is doing this marvelous work. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. So fellowship comes through Jesus Christ. A relationship. Christ says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You were drawn by my Father. You made that choice. You were willing to give up yourself. You were excited about this calling. And now I'm showing you what fellowship is. In verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. I'm suffering. Yes, I'm being harassed, Paul's saying. Why am I being harassed? Because I'm teaching the truth. Satan doesn't want to hear it. And he puts it in people's minds to harm those who are of God. Now, everyone gets harmed in this society. Everyone is harming everyone else. But here he's talking about being harmed for standing for the truth. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your core. Deep within, right? As Paul was saying to the Corinthians, that you are holding back. Yeah, you're just on the surface, but I need it to be deep within, through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, which is the obedience to all of God's commandments, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. I mean, this is, I'm not sure how this section of scripture hits you. But it's the mystery, what we've been called to be, made possible from God the Father and Jesus Christ. This comes at a very high price, this fellowship that we're able to be involved in. Fellowship is about living God's way of life. And we can go back to Philippians chapter 1. I think we see in Scripture how this fellowship is more than just conversing with one another. It's about living it. Philippians chapter 1. Paul says here in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in my prayer. So he's thinking about Paul. He's thinking about your conversion, your salvation, your relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. God called Paul to help us. And Paul was willing to suffer, be willing to die, to pour out his blood, to reveal this message to us. You're always in my prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy for your fellowship. Living it, putting it into practice. For your fellowship in the gospel message of Jesus Christ, from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. To complete it. Life is not easy. Life is a struggle. And this is a huge challenge for us. And Satan does not want us to make it. Fellowship, point number 7, is about dying to our old ways and walking in a newness of life. That's what we committed to at baptism. Since we're in Philippians, let's just go a couple chapters here forward. Philippians chapter 3. Start in verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things loss. all these things that I've had, all these physical things. I count all these things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because of this faith, I'm willing to give all that up, this wonderful calling. Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss, I've given up all things, he says, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is in the law, thinking that the law is going to save me, but the law shows us what we need to be doing and that we fall short and that we need a Savior to help us to move forward, that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. We're willing to suffer hardship, losing our job, if that's what it takes, standing for truth in everything. That's what God expects of us. That's what this fellowship is about. Of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, willing to give up all rights to ourselves and to do what God asks us to do. I mean, this isn't our idea. You know, we haven't come to this thing, oh, this is my idea, I'm going to stop being selfish and I'm going to start obeying God. Was that your idea? Never was my idea. I remember making a statement to my uncle. I never want to be a minister. I didn't want anything to be associated with church. Some people don't want to be with us today because they say religion is all about hypocrisy. You want to know what? That person is 99.99% accurate. There are a body of believers, and I hope that is you. I hope that is me. We must hear God's word. We must mull it into our minds, as what Mr. Shaby said, what Mr. Tuck emphasized in the announcement. The announcements and what Steve Myers wrote in his letter as well. As just wanted to quote what he made a statement. He didn't put out the verse, he just wrote it. Proverbs 4:26. Let me just read it to you. I wrote it down. It says, ponder the path of your feet. Where are you going in life? We don't want to be shocked when God says, you know what? I can't have you in my kingdom. You didn't love one another. You didn't love me. Oh, yeah, to a certain extent, but you know what? You practice lawlessness. You kept breaking my laws, and it didn't bother you. Mr. Meyer says, ponder the path of your feet. Which means to inspect, search. Because, you know, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth when it comes to judgment time. Some people will not be ready. They weren't fully committed. They allowed someone to mislead them into another gospel, compromising the Word of God. Or they let themselves. And I would even say to that point, when we hear another gospel that says that it's okay to compromise the Word of God, we should run from that. Because that's not fellowship. That's not why Jesus Christ came to sacrifice himself. Yeah, I understand that we grow. But when God shows us what sin is, he wants us to be hot. He doesn't want us to know that, oh, that's what I should be doing, but I'm not really going to do it. So we are lukewarm. God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. When he shows us his truth, this is precious. We just read that in Ephesians chapter 3. It is deep. It is huge. It is a mystery that God has revealed to us and he wants us to put into practice. So fellowship is about dying to our old ways and walking, being committed to this new way of life. Point number 8, fellowship is sharing in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. It's walking, again, in the obedience of God. Let me just turn over to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Paul is talking to Timothy as being a leader in the church, a young minister in the church. And what is Paul telling Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine," which is the doctrine of God the Father and Jesus Christ. "You have carefully followed the manner of life, the purpose, the faith, the long-suffering, the love, the perseverance, the persecutions, the afflictions, which happened to me." And as a young minister, possibly is going to happen to you. "I endured them, and I found out that the Lord has delivered me." Because Paul still had a message. "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Because people don't like what God is about. Satan has the power and the mindset to deceive people into thinking that God's way is the wrong way. Here it says in verse 13, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." It's going to get worse. They're deceived. They're deceiving others. And they're deceived, thinking that they have all the answers. But what does he say? "But you must continue in the things which you've learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, which he has revealed to us." Christ is about fellowship. Putting God first, being fully obedient to him, and loving one another. Fellowship, point number 9, Philippians, let's go back there. Fellowship is suffering the consequences of doing what is right. That's what fellowship is about. You're willing to suffer whatever the loss is, to be obedient to God. That's what fellowship is about. We come together to fellowship, we're sharing in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict." Right, we're engaged in this together. We're partakers with him. "Which you saw in me and now here is in me." Chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded," right, "in the fellowship of the Word of God. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish," the getaway, ambition or conceit, inflating the self, "but in lowliness," or in humility of mind, Let each esteem with humility and have regard for the other person. Others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And here we see, we're told to have the same mindset of Jesus Christ. In verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he emptied himself. He's willing to do the will of God. He's willing to suffer for us, so that we might be able to have this fellowship. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the point of the pole or the stake. And we see how God highly exalted him. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to know if we want to be a part of this fellowship. Point number 10, we're called into this fellowship of being faithful, fully committed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Jesus Christ, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as a testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that you come short in no gift, no favor, no short of any favor or short of any understanding. Jesus Christ says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Remember? Eagerly awaiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also conform you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord. That's what God expects through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, to whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what we've been called in. So I gave you 10 points today. I'm going to close with one more where we started. Go back over to 1 John. Because in conclusion, we should be listening to God's instruction. Fellowship is seeking godly relationships by being genuine. Fellowship is about being a companion, togetherness in God's ways. Fellowship is partnering together in the Word of God. Fellowship is putting others' needs above our own. Fellowship is a mystery, as we read from Paul. Yes, fellowship is about living God's ways. Fellowship is about dying to our understanding and being fully committed to God. It's about obedience to God. It's about suffering, taking the loss to do what is right. We've been called into this fellowship of being faithful. Point number 11 is we're called to walk in fellowship. Not just talk it, but to walk it. 1 John chapter 1 is where we started. We're called to walk in fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with God, and we walk in darkness, we lie, do not practice the truth. God doesn't want us to walk in darkness. He wants us to walk in the light. But if we walk in the light, as he expects us to do, verse 7, just as he is in the light, we're striving through repentance, through this walk, through help, to allow God and Jesus Christ to remain in us, so that we can walk in his ways. Then we have fellowship. We have this fellowship with one another because we're committed to God. And then the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin because we've fallen short and we need that. That's what true fellowship is. It's more than just words. It's a bond of fellowship. We talked about a genuine type of fellowship that comes through Jesus Christ, that he's revealed to us. The only hope for us is that we're committed to that, and God makes this possible for you and I, and he has. We just have to open ourselves up to accept it and to move forward and to really meditate on this. So let's walk in fellowship as we humble ourselves to allow him to be that fellowship in us.